Okay, I'm back. And Lord willing, I'll be here for the rest of the time until the very last week. So we are done traveling, or I am done traveling, at least as far as covering classes go. So I appreciate Randy and Mike stepping in my absence. And we'll see what happens. As I study more behind the scenes, I'm pretty excited for the stuff that we're going to get into. So we'll see what happens. We're going to be, I don't know how much we're going to get through that. We'll see what happens. This is where we're going to be. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 21, which is where I left off kind of last Wednesday night. And it sounds like Mike went over some more of the, you know, why Galatians, why does Paul spend the time that he does to tell them who he is. And that's, we could probably say that every day for the next 2 months and get something out of it. So that's good. So we're going to start. You have like 5 minutes, okay? The people sitting by you, next to you, in front of you, behind you, you're going to read Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 21, which, don't forget, again, since you just went over with Mike, but we did too. We just got done with the Apostle Paul saying, this is who I am, this is why I have the authority that I have, this is what I'm saying it with. It's not from men, it's from God, blah, 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 blah. And then he gets into a very interesting piece of verses here. And I have a couple different ways and things that I want to work our way through that I think we can get information from and gain from. But you're going to read Galatians chapter 2, 11, it's just 11 at the end of the chapter, 11 and 21. And the four questions that you're going to ask yourself as you read, and then when the person sitting next to you, behind you, across from you, finishes reading, who is speaking in the verses? What or who are they speaking about? What is the general purpose of the section? And how does it relate to our theme? Remember, our theme is set or prepare your heart, as Ezra did in the Old Testament. So I'm going to leave you alone. You have 5 minutes. Read it. Yeah. Talk to your neighbor. What's the purpose? How does it relate to us? I'm going to start my fancy timer here. You have 5 minutes.
Back on track. Prepare your heart. That was your fault.
Okay, 10 seconds, wrap up your thoughts.
Yes, and prepare your heart to, I guess, not be persuaded by people coming in the doctrines that we have started.
Okay. Who's speaking?
Speaking as you ask the question.
Why is Paul speaking? How do we know Paul is speaking?
He's giving an account about what happened.
It's still the same letter, right?
Yeah.
We started the letter with Paul saying, I'm this guy and I know this and do this, and then right. He continues writing. So it's Paul speaking. Who is he speaking to?
Gentiles.
Peter?
Yeah, that's a good... Who's he? So, we can spend all night debating, and that's not the purpose, I think, of helping us use this and apply to us. We could have a pretty good debate. Is the purpose of this writing for Peter or for... I tend to think it's for the Judaizing teachers that were in where they were at the time, because why would Paul be writing it otherwise, right? But there are some people that think, but it doesn't make sense that Paul would randomly throw this in, but at some point Peter would have probably read it. So anyways.
Well, he's also addressing the fact that even some of the apostles were being swayed by the
yes.
teaching. And he
yes.
kind of admonishes.
It's like for the whole congregation.
So again, I guess my only point is, keep in mind that this letter is written for a purpose. Yes, it calls out. Now, it says Cephas. How do we know that's Peter?
Well, it's called Cephas in other places.
Yeah, the title says Peter, so we just go by that, right? 1 John, you could go other places. John chapter 1, I said 1 John. John chapter 1, verse 42. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. So, don't believe the little titles in your Bible. Most of the time they're right, but it says in the title, it says Cephas, but it says it's to Peter. But Cephas was translated Peter in the Aramaic, right?
In my Bible, it says Peter.
That's true. Some translations may say Peter there. What or who? So we talked about the who they're speaking about. At least the first part. Who is he speaking about in the beginning? You guys actually said a couple times.
Peter.
Peter, who else?
James.
Barnabas is definitely mentioned. James. What does it say about James? That's kind of a weird statement, right?
So the
James connection, and that's a hard one. Again, you can go a lot of different ways with that. The circle of James, whatever that is, if that's immediate people, if that's extended, he seems to have sent them. But it's more than one person, yes?
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Which, again, I think is interesting. What are they speaking of? Well, in the middle of it, I don't know how to say this right, but in the middle of it, it shifts. What does Paul's focus shift to?
Shifting to Christ.
Okay.
The nature of the gospel.
Okay. What else?
He calls those teachers hypocrites because they
were... Who does he call hypocrites?
Those that were eating with the Gentiles. And when Jews showed up, they stopped eating with them and started doing what the Jewish law said.
Yes. Which was who?
Barnabas and Peter.
Barnabas and Peter, at least some. Right? Why is that interesting? What do we know about Peter? We don't have time to look at all the instances, but give me some examples of who Peter was.
Peer pressure.
Aggressive.
Peer pressure is good. Aggressive. Get what stories that tell us this? There's two that I'm thinking of.
Denied Christ.
Okay. He denied Christ. Mm-hmm. Right? They're in the upper room, and he tells Jesus, "Not me." And Jesus says, yeah, it's going to happen, and then the rooster will crow. Does that happen?
Yes.
100%. I don't know if we have time to go read it. It's Matthew chapter 16 or 26. I forget. Well, let's go read it real quick. Is it 16 or 26? The two stories I learned. So go to Matthew. I have it written down, but let's see how good my memory is.
You're behind me, Satan.
16 is... maybe not right. Okay. Jesus warns his teaching. Messiah. It's not. I better look at my notes. What's 26? Matthew 26.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lord's Supper.
Yep, Matthew 26:69.
Yeah. Okay, so let's read... I was half right. Okay. 31 to 35. I'll just read it real quick. So Jesus again predicts Peter's denial. Which again, Matthew is not the only gospel that we can go to find this story, but it's just the one I happen to write down. But Matthew 26, beginning in verse 31. Matthew 26:31. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. But Peter, this is the same Peter, said to him, "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you that this very night, before a rooster crows, you will deny me not once, not twice, but three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." All the disciples said the same thing too. Which, all the disciples said the same thing too is interesting too. But then you skip ahead to verse 69. So Matthew chapter 26, verse 69. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, "You too were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are talking about." When he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again, he denied it with an oath. Which, what does "with an oath" mean? It's stronger than the first time, right?
Yeah.
"I do not know the man." That's Jesus. A little later, the bystanders came and said to Peter, "Surely you too are one of them," the disciples, "for even the way you talk gives you away." Then he began to curse and swear, which again I think is taking it a step further. Three steps there, really. "I do not know the man," and immediately a rooster crowed. Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, "Before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went away and wept bitterly. Okay? So that's one of the Peter stories that we know pretty regularly. What's the other one? Is it Matthew 14? Walking on water was the other one I was thinking of. Yeah. What's the story of walking on water? We know that one pretty well too.
It's fearful.
Okay? Who's walking on water first?
Jesus.
And Peter's like, "Let me come out to you." Yeah. And Peter gets on the water and he starts walking, right? Then what happens?
He
wavers, right? And we normally go to there to talk about faith and the strength of our faith and things like that. But the point is, he started strong and he weakened. So we get to Galatians chapter 2, and it's interesting that Paul gives this example of Peter, which, again, I'm sure that those people would have known. I mean, he was in Antioch. It's we don't know when this happens, the Paul confronting Peter face to face. There's no real ability to put that in a timeline where it fits, but it happens. It's written and it happened at some point. It's also interesting, we've talked a lot about Acts chapter 15 and the council at Jerusalem. Again, some people believe Galatians happened before that, some people think Galatians happened after that. I'm not going to argue with you tonight about that, but Acts chapter 15, okay, I'm just going to read a couple verses there. This is the Council of Jerusalem that we've talked about. We talked about the circumcision party, and in Galatians they're worried about the circumcision party, and in Acts chapter 15 there's a council and it's the circumcision party that they're dealing with there. But it's just interesting to note that Acts chapter 15 verse 6, "The apostles and the elders came together to look into this matter. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, 'Brethren, You know that in the early days, God made a choice among you that by my mouth, the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, testified to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he also did to us. And he, verse 9 is the key, he, God, made no distinction between us and them, that's Jew and Gentile, cleansing their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in the same way as they also are. So what is Peter doing there? Defending and making them equal. But we read in Galatians chapter 2 that Paul basically confronts Peter, because when Peter was separating himself from the Gentiles to eat with the Jews, what is he doing? He's putting a distinction between them. Which, again, we just spent 6 months in Colossians and Ephesians. Is there a distinction between Jew and Gentile? No. So, why does that matter to him? Why? Oh, I love the questions why, but they can go anywhere. Randy?
I think it's also interesting. Peter kind of had to evolve into understanding the Jew and the Gentile scenario. And whether Acts 15 is prior to Galatians or not, whatever. But Acts 10 is.
I agree.
When Peter received that vision,
yes.
And even before that, or while that vision is happening, there's just one little, let me find it now. When God shows him this vision and says, go ahead and eat. Notice what Peter says. In verse 14, it says, Lord, I have never eaten anything unholy or unclean. So, at that period of time, Peter was still struggling with the idea of Jew and Gentile.
Yes.
Very much so. And then you know, even, you know, whatever. I'm just saying that later on, he still struggles with it in Galatians. You know,
I agree.
How dare you do that when God showed him that there is no distinction, even though prior to God showing him that, he was kind of still with that distinction in mind.
Yes, which again, we're not going to argue tonight, but it tends to seem that Acts chapter 10 happens, this instant happens, and then Acts chapter 15 later because Paul is now again. It really doesn't matter. Randy's right. But a little bit later in chapter 10, so Randy's right, Peter is shown, hey, we're all equal. Why does that matter to Peter? That's not asked properly. Who is, what is Peter of? What religion? Religion is the wrong word, but who is Peter?
Peter's a Jew.
So for him to find out in Acts chapter 10 that there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile is a bigger thing to him than it really is to us. Again, one of the things about today is I don't think we have any capability to comprehend what that was like then, because it's just different now. But for Peter and Paul, Jew practiced the law to be told they're equal. And then, again, even continuing in chapter 10, verse 28, he goes to Cornelius and Cornelius' family. Verse 28 says, and he, that's Peter, said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or visit him. And yet God has shown me, Peter, that I should not call any man what? Unholy or unclean. So Peter clearly understands that now they're the same, but it does at least at some point in there seem to take some time for him to really initiate that. So why? Why? Why is Peter separating himself? I think Paul calls him out for it. Did you catch it in there?
Yes.
What does Paul say? It's verse.
You're
here,
Yeah. 11.
Verse 11 and verse 12. He's still condemned. Verse 12, before certain men came James, he was eating Gentiles, but when they came, he drew back and severed himself, what? Fearing the circumcision party. Which your translation may say a little bit different. But Paul says, why did they pull themselves out from being equal? Because they feared the circumcision party more than what they should have already known, or probably did already know. Right? That's huge for us. And I think, again, chapter 6, now I'm going to misremember, is it verse 12? Chapter 6, I've been harping on verse 12. Chapter 6, Galatians, sorry, we're jumping all over the place tonight. Galatians chapter 6, verse 12. This is, you know, Paul's wrapping up his thoughts and he's talking. But verse 12, it is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised. And only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. I love that verse. Because, you know, persecution or fitting in with this old crowd or wherever you want to fit Peter and the rest of them into that group, they were doing it because of that circumcision party. Good thoughts. Okay. Yeah? Mm-hmm. What else did I ask? What's the general purpose of, ooh, this is, whew, where are we going to go with this? What do you guys think? What's the general purpose? I think there's a lot of right answers for this question. We've already harped on one a lot. Purpose. Someone give me a purpose.
It's to prepare us for, to know what is the gospel and what is not the gospel.
Okay, I like that. Again, Paul has went to an extent to say, and then right in the beginning of chapter 1, he says, if it's contrary to what I said, even if it's an angel of God, then it's not it. So again, checking that source. Why are you doing it? What's the purpose of what you're doing? I think that's a good thought. What else? Carol.
Jesus is enough.
Okay. The end, we haven't talked about the second half of the section yet, but what has Christ done for everybody?
God.
Right. What word is in there a bunch? Starts with J. Justified or justification. We're going to talk about that. I don't know if we're going to talk about it tonight, but we're going to get to that. That's huge. 2 seconds on justified. What does justified mean? It's not... What does Christ do for us towards God? He makes us right.
Reconciled.
Yes, the righteousness. The justification is that we are righteous because of what Jesus did. We are made right. It's not that we justify anything. And again, that's going to get in when we start talking about the works and the faith. It's not that we justify anything. It's that we've been justified through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's a huge difference in that.
Don't you know we've been made whole?
100%.
100% whole.
Right.
And it's only by one factor, and that's the shed blood of Christ. You can't eliminate blood, sacrifice blood, and what Christ gave up on the cross. It all ties together.
I'm not going to name any names. There's a religious sect today that puts Peter pretty high. Is Peter above Paul?
No.
I didn't know that. Who calls Peter out and corrects Peter?
Paul.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I think, again, with that authority and the things that Paul starts the chapter with, I think he's also showing, hey, remember, Paul was not one of the original, right? Paul was a bad guy. Mm-hmm. But it's like, hey, even Peter, I have the ability to show Peter what's right, too. And I'm going to show you guys what's right. Ben.
Continue on with that authority concept, I think that's huge, because Paul is saying, and that's what he said in chapter 1, that he received the gospel not from man, but he was taught it by Christ. So this is kind of sketchy here. Even Peter, who was an apostle, was in error.
Yes.
Yeah, so yes. What Paul's saying is you need to listen to the revealed word of God, and even you can even not listen or don't take as an example Peter, who is one of the apostles. Sorry to open that.
No. I 100% agree. I was going to go there. We were headed that direction. So, I'm just tabulating how to properly, because you can't open up a lot of things with that. But Daniel likes to say before his lessons, test the things that I say. It's not what I say, it's what God says. The fallacy of man is there. Yes? Yeah. Even Peter and Barnabas can get it wrong. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of his point. So how many times when we're looking for strength, when we're looking to prepare or set our hearts, where are we going?
To the Word.
We should be going to the Word. Mm-hmm. Now, can we study together and learn together and grow together? Absolutely. But where does that need to come from? It needs to come from God. Mm-hmm. So I 100% agree, and I think that's well said, Andy. Fallacy of man is there, and we have to be careful with it. Okay? Good. I think this, when I was studying for this, it kind of hit me between the eyes in the thought that later in the session, we're going to have to hit this on Sunday too, so we're going to continue this discussion on Sunday when we get there, but it talks about the truth of the gospel. What's the best way for us to convey truth?
By living it.
The way that we live.
That's right.
The way that we live. We can say things all we want, but if we're not showing it by the way we live, doesn't matter what we're saying, right? Peter can tell you all he wants that it's equal, but if Peter, and so again, I think that gets into, it actually says Paul went face to face and confronted Peter.
In front of everybody.
Why? Because he was wrong. And because our actions, although this whole book is going to be justified by faith and the liberty that we have through Christ, our actions speak louder than our words, don't they? And he calls them out for it. And I think it's interesting to note that. And it's just, it's interesting that in the book of Galatians that Paul goes in and there's this dialogue of this is what I did, but maybe the very same thing that you're struggling with, guess what? Other people are too. But we set him straight. And then he gets into the Christ and the justification and crucified with Christ and all those things. But our actions are huge. And so preparing or setting our heart, when we're doing what we're supposed to do, that's such a good example that we can set. Such a good example. Okay. Any other purpose? There's probably more, but we've talked some of this. What have we not touched on this? It says, how does it relate to our theme of set or prepare your heart? Have we not covered something in there? Any thoughts?
I think that's more in the next section when it talks about faith versus works.
Okay.
Because it stems down to our faith.
I agree. Let's read that one. Yeah, we've been stuck on Peter for a few minutes. Let me read. That's verse 17, maybe? 15. There's some argument. When does Paul's discussion of Peter separate to... Then I don't know that you separate the two. Paul's writing a letter saying, hey, here's this example, and guess what? The rest of it. I don't think it matters too much. But verse 15, so Galatians chapter 2, verse 15. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law. Why would that be important to them?
Because the
circumcision was a part of the law. So he's going to go later and say circumcision doesn't matter. Okay? But through faith in Jesus Christ, so we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified or you know, made right with God by faith in Christ and not by those works that those guys are trying for you to do. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. But if, in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ too a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. What in the world is that talking about? How do we die to the old law? Well, I guess, we don't practice the old law, but what is Paul talking about?
Baptism.
Mm-hmm. What's the old law? All of those works. The uncleanliness that we've talked about tonight. The circumcision. Those things. Verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. Again, how are we crucified with Christ? Baptism. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
That's right.
Oh, we use that statement so many times. Help me understand what he's talking about.
He's taken on Christ.
Okay.
And he takes and fully believes everything that Christ has said or taught or mentioned or whatever. He's completely filled with it. Filled with Christ's teaching.
Okay, I like that. What else?
We're baptized, the symbolism is to come in contact with the blood of Christ.
Okay. Contact with the blood of Christ. Good. Still not what I'm looking for. Think about Galatians. Think about who Paul's writing to. Think about the issue he's addressing.
Christ takes over your life.
Don't worry, I'm a teacher. I can wait. Wait time is an amazing thing. Think about it. What is Paul addressing? We've talked about it already tonight. I'm not going to say a word. What is Paul addressing? What is his point? And everything has been said are good points too.
You died with Christ and lives in the flesh according to God.
Okay. I think we've made a turn to where Tim's thinking at least. So John said, baptized and made right with God and turned to God.
Lives in.
Carol.
If they no longer live and Christ lives in them, they won't be thinking about circumcision.
Okay, I like that too. Dave.
It was amazing how quickly they were falling away from what they were taught.
Okay, I think that's a good point. Again, that gets to Peter and those others. So Dave said it's how quickly they've gone away from what they are. So Paul is saying, I am, because again, remember who Paul was, and now who Paul is. Okay?
Thinking like a rebirth or something.
Okay? We're forgetting the old law. What did the old law look like?
Nailed to the cross.
I have to do this, and I have to do that, and I have to be circumcised, and I am living in the old law through things that you see and things you, right? Mm-hmm. Who lives in the new law?
It was physical.
Yeah, not me anymore. Who's doing the living?
Christ.
Which again, I think sometimes it's hard for us to think about it that way because we've never practiced the old law. But think about how the old law was and how they had to live. Because again, we didn't really talk a ton about this. Is he talking to the Gentiles and the Jews in this statement or in this section? He could be, but what issue is he addressing? The fact that Peter was pulling himself out and the circumcision and Christ. I think that he's addressing the Judaizers in this section. Now, does that not mean that it's also applicable to the Gentiles? Sure, it does. But I think his focus is towards those people. Which when he says it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, for them that would mean it should mean a lot of things. Verse 21, sorry, the end of verse 20, we didn't finish. Christ who is me, and the life, again, the life I now live in the flesh, which was the opa, right? Fleshly things, things that you could see. I'm now living in the flesh. I'm still here, but I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through what? Through the law. If righteousness were the other, if we were justified by the old law, Christ died for no purpose. So hey, Jew guys, if you're going to bind those things on us, it doesn't matter that Christ died. It doesn't matter that Christ was crucified. And again, the fact that Paul uses the word crucified, he talks about it's not him living, but it's Christ living, I think is huge. I think it's huge. Okay? What else? Randy.
I think he's just continuing to make the same argument. Well, maybe I should say it this way, that God is making the same argument through him.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he's building himself up, but God definitely is. Everything he said, even in chapter 1, he started out, you know, that you know, he was called, what did he say? Sent through, not the agency of man. He goes on. You guys are being deceived. You're listening to the GGIs and teachers. You're even listening to the apostles, which could mislead you. And his whole thing is, well, look at me. If you're talking about those Judaizing teachers, compare them to me. I was so far above them in Judaism, and what did I do? I put all that away. I've been crucified with Christ. I think that's the same argument that he keeps making. Look, that God is using Paul as an example of somebody who truly was a very, 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 very devout Jew, and he put it all away to accept Jesus. And that should carry so much more weight than listening to the Judaizing teachers, to listening to words that might have come from the apostles from Jerusalem, or anybody else. Yeah. And here, and then it culminates, I've been crucified with Christ. Mm-hmm. It's not about Judaism anymore in my life. It's about Christ. I think it's the same argument, just that God is building upon,
right,
looking at Paul.
And it's not about me as an individual.
No.
It's about the gospel, and it's about the fact that Christ, the old law is no longer there. It's that Christ died, all are equal, and we all have the opportunity to be justified because of Christ. And Christ set us, again us, Christ set them free. What did Christ set them free from?
Sin.
Yes, but also the old law. Christ set them free from the obligations of the old law. The feast and the sacrifices and the cleansing and all those. I mean, think about it. You walk into a room accidentally and there's a dead body there. That was a big deal. But none of that matters anymore because there's no clean and unclean. Christ has died and there's no more Jew and no more Gentile. We all have access to that. Good. Okay. Okay. I think we're going to stop there. We still have a minute and a half. And I'm not done with this section. So I do think we're going to get into chapter 3, though, on Sunday. So I have a couple more things that I want to hit in this section before we disappear from it. But if you want to do your homework, chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. Chapter 3, 1 through 14. We're definitely going to get into that on Sunday. Let me see if I can... I think that's it. So, I like this. How about this one to end? Proverbs 29:25. Proverbs 29:25. Turn that really quick. Proverbs 29:25. Proverbs 29:25 says this: "The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted." Is that not Paul's? Does that not pretty much sum up what Paul's trying to say?
Yeah.
Don't fear man. Men provide snares. Trust in the Lord, and you will be exalted. I think that's a great verse. I found that in one of my books. So, I know the bell hasn't rang yet. We're going to stop there. If you want to read ahead, Galatians chapter 3, 1 through 14. Thank you, everybody.
I took care of my mom.